called and objected to some of the articles appearing. Evidently, he felt that these articles were outdated and somehow were not terribly valid. And I don't know. Commander, this all gets into this realm of the scientists, the two scientists, really, Tesla and Walter Russell.
Yes, it does.
Who has come under attack, his work at least, and some of his adherents, I guess, in this day and age have taken some objections to the appearance of his material in some of the publications.
Well, actually, the two gentlemen that you heard from are part and parcel of the very ones who are trying to squelch the information, discount the Liberator, and do these other things. They are working in conjunction with one that wrote the book that we asked ones to purchase, actually, the Committee of 300. That book is very valid because the information was taken from that which was written prior to that by one Eustace Mullins, and even from the LaRouche organization, etc., etc. You see, the journals and the Liberator only take information as you would if you were writing journals called Time Magazine or Newsweek or any regular truth news publication. The journals come out about every third or fourth week. We don't write novels. These two particular gentlemen were set up to do this to your program, and therefore I must tell you what's going on. The fact is that Mr. Tesla and Mr. Russell had come to a joint conclusion that their work was only half complete because the secret, or the future, as you would perceive it to be, would deal in total light frequency. Tesla knew that. Everything ran on frequencies. And is simply energy. And that energy at source is light. Now, Mr. Coleman, the one whose name is on that book, came into this group. Mr. Coleman is not what he appears to be. He has an alias of John Clark, William Clark. He's got dozens of aliases. But his name is Joseph Pavlonsky. He was trained by the Mossad. He came through claiming to be with British intelligence. He is an agent. And he is being discounted. And he has managed to cause ones to literally steal the mailing lists of both the Liberator and America West's mailing list. Criminal politics mailing list, one by the name of Warner that befriended him, and he has written to all of these people. And if he hasn't, he gave us four letters, which if you will just pick up this week's Liberator, you will find them posted. It is pure and total blackmail. And you can blackmail all you want. Commander Hatton does not blackmail. I will not tolerate it. And I'm sorry, Sam, this is what your program has had to put up with now.
Well, I recall these two callers from our previous sessions, and I sense that they were disinformation specialists, and they seem to like to do that.
My impulse, because it is so hard on my people, and it's so embarrassing to you, and it's such an affront to your listeners, that my feeling is almost that I should not participate. I should leave it in the hands of you ones. And yet, ones are crying out. They know there is more than this kind of life that you have. And they know that you are bogged down. And they also know that God promised to send the hosts and the messengers always before the great cycles change and the great teachers come. And I could withdraw and just thank you for being gracious to me. I repeat, my scribe, my translator, my people have been through enough bombardment to last 10 generations, as have you. And as you try to bring truth to a failing, falling world, it will get worse. And I am plagued. I agonize over it. Because I cannot release you from it. I can't do it for you. And this is the best we can do. And I'll hang in there as long as you will.
All right, very good. I intend to hang in there, personally.
I realize that there are some staunch ones who will change this world as you know it. And it will be ones like you.
Well, thank you. We have some calls. Let us move along now to the telephones. And we have Marjorie on the line. Marjorie, you're on K-Talk and Open Mind with Commander Hatton.
Yes, what an honor.
Thank you.
Very happy to talk with you. My question, I have three or four written down here. Now, I understand you are Hatton, but who really are you?
That's who I am. I am an etheric energy form. As ones assemble, our last little journey, our last little training station was in Pleiades. And you will find fourth dimensional beings and third, you know, that is going to be your next experience, that kind of experience. You're not going to move from humanoid in your experience into fifth dimension etheric beings. You are going to transfer into a higher state of frequency. And then you will continue to move up the chain. You don't just whammo your God. And in these greater missions, these are your brothers. We are the most like you from Pleiades. And the teachers, of which I am a teacher, Hatton, I am an etheric being. But I can transfer back and forth at will. This is the greatest gift of being of God energy.
So you can manifest in visible form or return as will then?
Yes, but at this particular transition of your earth, I do not longer come into physical form because I have sat in your summit meetings and I have been subject to exactly what Randy Weaver was as the federal troops tried to take me. And I had some of my brothers there with me. And it's very handy to be able to just go and vanish.
Yes.
They can't hold you.
Is it real or can it be an illusion also?
It can be an illusion, yes.
Mm-hmm. So it is there for our benefit and not necessarily real.
Well, you're getting back now to the sole purpose and the manifestation of experience. Everything being an illusion, it's very hard for me to, you know, to discuss the two.
Are there on your illusionary spaceship or whatever form you have come in?
Well, we have... that's very hard to answer. Are you talking about etheric beings or just beings? My craft, the command craft, you see, is some 900 feet across. So we have a very, very large crew. And we're talking about a command ship. And then we're talking about a very large mother craft, or which would be the equivalent of your world.
Mm-hmm.
But we would never have more than the 500 million, because we are equivalent.
That's very interesting.
That's what your planet was created to house in balance, was 500 million. And that, by the way, when you hear George Bush say we're going to depopulate because we will not have more than 550 million people. That's exactly what the New World Order means.
Mm-hmm.
And you are in the middle...
In time?
You are in the beginning of depopulation now.
Yes. Were you mortal at one time?
Yes, I have been mortal.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does Jesus relate to you? Jesus Christ, you said here...
The one that you call Jesus is an erroneous name, but it's valid for you. Don't let me confuse you. The one you are referring to, I assume, is Isu Emmanuel, the Jesus or the Christ being of 2,000 years ago. Is that the being you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the being that I consider my commander-in-chief.
That's the being that what?
I consider to be my commander-in-chief, that this is his project.
Right.
Now, you're going to find that same energy, that same Christ energy experienced in many forms, on your place. And he means one thing to the native population, another to the Buddhist. We're talking about a state of being when you speak of a Christ.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you are here at his direction?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are here to help us, is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
And in helping us to become more God-like, to move on to the next dimension, is that correct?
That's, well, our mission is a little bit different. Each of you have your higher guides, and those are the ones that guide you through your dimensional changes into truth, if you will.
Now that's
our mission at this time, and yes, I am a guide, but our mission is to bring the Word, because the Word has gotten so completely misrepresented in almost every way there is, in this attempt of the adversarial forces to take your planet and lock you into a physical perception so that you can't break through. So basically, to put it simplistically, on the higher level, there is a battle for souls between the light and the adversary, who would bind you to a physical expression. And that's what keeps you coming back in your miserable plight, if you will. Because life journey should be joyous. And yet you can see, and all of the teachings from every source will tell you that before the ending of the cycles, or the great cycle, there would be total chaos. There would be a period of time where evil would rule your world. And you're there.
I can feel it coming.
Yes, you're there.
Yes.
It's happening.
We have to move along.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your call. And here is JC. You're on K-Talk and Open Mind with Commander Hatan. Ta-da. Eli Hatan?
Yes.
Shema. Adonai. Elohenu Adonai. Yekad.
Well, I certainly get the Adonai.
Could you finish that for me?
No.
Is it only English that you can communicate?
No. But that is the language that my scribe speaks, and I respect that.
Are you limited to that yourself?
No. But I speak a universal language.
Could you answer a question for me concerning the highest one, the holy?
I would try.
Is it one?
Yes. It's all.
And do you enjoy us?
Do I enjoy you?
Yes.
I don't understand what you mean. You are me. You are part of me. So I certainly enjoy you. I have great rapport. I am one of you. So I don't understand your question. I realize that you're giving me a test. But I don't know what in the world it is you're trying to prove.
More precise, JC. Well, it wasn't so much of a test as it was an embrace.
But you're testing me, and I don't know what it is you want from me.
Just whether or not you would enjoy myself as completely as I enjoy you.
I enjoy you tremendously. We are one. There is only one.
Well, this has been great. We should do it again soon. All right, certainly we shall, JC, and thank you. And we move along now to Marina. You're on K-Talk, Marina, with Commander Hatan.
Good evening, Sam.
Good evening.
Commander Hatan, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
I want you to bear with me just for a few minutes and let me just say a few things, and then I'd like to get your comment if I might.
Very good.
Okay, in life, you know, there are many challenges, and one never ends his life without them. And if you are truly of light, I would think you'd be more than happy to be challenged. And yet, if asked to prove yourself, you go on the defensive. My impression of the light or a God force would be one of love and warmth. And it would want to embrace and protect, not be on the defensive when asked a few questions. The defensive is their human qualities and not one of a higher being. What do you think?
Well, I think that you're absolutely right. I am a space commander. I am working with humans in a very human element, and I'm continually challenged, and I don't mind the challenge. I do object to the insulting attitudes of ones giving the tests.
If
ones are actually asking for some kind of proof, I can give them proof, but it's going to be in energy form. It is not going to be in an argument over what is a photon.
It is a higher being, than, and knowing humans, you should know this is our characteristics.
Well, I do know that it's your characteristic, but does that make it correct?
No, that's not saying that it makes it correct.
Well, but you are putting limitations on me of what you expect of me, and therefore if I do not give you what you expect, then I am somehow lesser.
But being of a, and maybe I'm giving you too much credit.
No, I'm asking you, why do you perceive it to be that way?
No, I'm not saying that I don't believe that you are of the light or that you're not of the light. I think what I'm asking you is that we all are seeking for the truth and for verification of the truth. We are a curious people, and that is, if we can't see it, touch it, or feel it, usually we don't believe it's real.
But Precious, you are asking in truth.
Okay.
Two gentlemen this evening are asking in a tone to pull down the truth.
Yes, so that's...
And you would not appreciate me as a commander or any other kind of form if I allow them to continue to do that to you. I love you that much.
Well, and I love myself that much too, but I would appreciate you more if you knew something of the truth and I were to ask you a question and you could tell me that question. Because learning is for everybody, and knowledge is vast, and we will be learning and seeking knowledge till the day we die.
Yes, ma'am. And if I give you an answer in calculus when you have asked me that question and you don't understand kindergarten or third grade arithmetic, I have done you no favor. I have only buried you in more that you cannot comprehend.
Well, before I close, I want you to bury us, because we are seeking the truth, and if you are truly of the light, then I embrace you.
I thank you.
Okay.
I certainly thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Marina. The listeners seem to be coming back at the idea that these two questions that were posed by these two individuals, they feel, I guess, that you were sidestepping them, and I don't think that was it at all. I think that to answer those adequately, it would have required an explanation that was totally beyond and foreign, would have been totally beyond and foreign to those who asked the question.
Well, let me put it this way. To answer the first question, it took 8 volumes at over 200 pages a volume to respond to it. And yet, simplistically, I said it. You are a thought projection of God, and God is light. Light is all. Truth is all. Love is all. That is what God is. And you are manifest in that reflection. And yet, see, they want a great mathematical breakdown, I suppose. And I have done that. I have done that. Germain has done that. We have 8 volumes that explain it explicitly, and they are important enough that these people, these very people that called in here, are trying to get them banned from the ability of you, the people, to have them.
Well, that really is true. Those 8 volumes do exist, and so for those who might be put off by this, I hope you'll keep in mind the idea that it just is impossible to deal with that kind of a subject. I mean, you're asking, what's the form of creation in 30 words or less in a 2-hour talk show? Now, come on.
Let me talk in terms of one of your advertisers who comes on and says, use herbs. Why would you use herbs? In 30-second sound bites, can she explain to me the cellular structure of the mitochondria and the chondriano and the chondriana and why you would use an herb? You see, you want the secrets or the greatness of a universe, and you want to open your mind in flexibility, but give it to me in 15 seconds or less, or you're false. Well, I can't do it.
Well, of course, that's the soundbite mentality that we've grown up in.
Yes, yes. And it's one of those things that we're all stuck with. And yes, I get extremely frustrated. I don't get really angry. I get frustrated that these ones in these positions have done this to you once. And I can't seem to break that binding from you. And it is extremely painful to me.
Well, it just comes with the territory. Let's move along to the Weaver Davis line. Here's Henry. You're on K-Talk and Open Mind with Commander Hatton.
Hi, Commander.
Hello.
Have you visited with Billy Meyer in Switzerland yourself?
No. Not as such.
Can you tell me why? Have you seen the photographs of the disc in the air that Billy photographed?
Oh, yes.
Can you explain why they have to pose in trees sometimes? Can you explain that?
Pose in trees? I can tell you why they would photograph as they do, because you're going to have a current wash. As the air moves around the disc, it's going to backwash, and it's going to cause the tree to flow. And if you're taking a motion picture, you can see that motion. You can also get perspective. You have to remember when you're talking about Billy Meyer, Semyosa, yes, or Semyosi, is the daughter of Semyosa, who was one of the higher beginners, if you will, of that particular tribe. And Semyosi is from Pleiades. But the ones that are most often attended are the ones like Ascot, and whose pictures are taken, and these ones are from the Dal universe. They're not from Pleiades. And yet the truth comes from both, but there is a different perception of the laws. And one has one purpose. The others are here mostly as teachers and observers. And in all of it, Billy Meyer got badly, badly had. And
Commander, that helps a lot. All right. Well, Henry, I think also, just to put a little bit of my own perspective on that, having those discs photographed against trees gives you a visual perspective against which you can then compare with a known object, the UFO. And that's why they do that.
Well, you have another problem, too. And that is that once tried to come into your space and make themselves known this way and thought it would be acceptable. It's like one say, well, if you just turned off all the televisions and you came on and we'd all believe. Or show up at Super Bowl Sunday on the 50-yard line, we'll all believe. No, that's not true. That is not true. You don't believe. And as things went on and there were such valid, wonderful things coming out of the Billy Meyer experience, only to be blown away by total falseness. And the one ship that makes the greatest impact on all ones has great big bubbles all over it and is absolutely exquisite. And I would guess it's about a foot and a half across, and it is a mock-up, and it is a lie. And so in the very same space where you have such great truth comes the lie. Yeah, and then one's effort to pull the man down. They practically killed him.
And it was too bad. They tried to make those things look like they were phonied up, but you have to remember that Billy Meyer has one arm and a great school education, and to think that he could have phonied up those photographs is just beyond comprehension.
Well, he has been terribly, terribly used.
Yeah. Henry, appreciate your call.
Thanks for both of your hard work.
Thank you.
And here's Gordon. You're on K-Talk with Commander Hatton.
How you doing, Sam?
Hi.
Good. Commander?
Yes.
And I'd like to say hello to John, who's probably listening right now.
Oh, I hope so.
I'd like to find out, you talk about the pending evils that's coming, and I can see it. I've read it, and I see the evils that's about to take over. What can we, as individuals that believe that this is happening, what can we do to bring about clarity to the people that say our government would not do things like this? What can we do to inform other people? That's one question. And then I have another one, if we have time, on a quick one on Area 51.
Well, I'll take the first one. You're asking me something that obviously I'm not doing very well. We're doing, you and every other person who is willing to open your eyes and listen, and just be perceptive and then stay in the lighted shield. Ask God into everything that you do. You must ask God into everything that you do because that keeps yourself shielded. That's when God can respond in protection. And I don't know how you reach out. It just takes a long, long time and persistence. You will note now that as you try to say things to people and they won't listen, day after tomorrow the confirmation comes. It comes in the form of a mountain in Idaho with 500 troops. It comes in the form of maybe an article on the front page of the paper. It comes in the form of the black box coincidentally coming forth out of KAL 007 on the same day that your government, through William Clark, made a deal with China. And William Clark was the one who planned the 007 bring down. So it's those things. And I don't know how you can even piece them together if you don't know how to even listen to the news. Because you can get it all from the news if you know what you're looking for. Reverse it and keep your eyes and ears open and ask for insight and you'll get it. And it will flow just like a river.
I see.
And your other question I would hear.
Another question. Several months back, possibly a year, I can't remember exactly, there was a power failure in Las Vegas. And information that I have received, not even from the news media or anything, but from an individual, he claims that the epicenter of the electrical storm that knocked out that power system in Las Vegas originated in at Area 51. Do you know if this is correct?
Well, I'd have to look into it because there are so many outages that never make it to your attention. And it's very probable. The whole underground is catacombed with facilities and tunnels. So
Las Vegas, and a lot of the casinos lost their power source. And it was quite a shakeup, you know. It did make the news media, but they didn't say that it was an electrical storm or how it originated or where it originated.
Well, you see, the only place
that... it was at Area 51.
There's much cloning taking place in that area. There is a lot of massive nuclear acceleration studies going. And as a matter of fact, the only thing that can even begin to simulate what we were talking about earlier, these gamma rays coming in, these multi-trillion powered rays, the only thing that can even approach it are these massive nuclear accelerators, and you have them there under Nevada.
Gordon, thank you very much for your call.
Take care, Sam. Thanks, Commander.
You're welcome.
And Colleen, you're on Cape Talk and Open Mind with Commander Hatton.
Yeah, this is Mike.
Whoops, okay, something happened to the computer screen. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Okay.
Good. I was just wondering, did Christ create the world? Jesus Christ?
No.
No?
Who did? Not Jesus and not the Christ.
Okay.
The higher being, the central being, you call him by all sorts of names. There is a higher creator than even the ones that you would call God of your particular area of the solar system.
Okay, is Jesus Christ the savior of this world?
No, Jesus Christ is not. The Christ being...
Pardon?
The Christ being would be. Do not confuse the two terms. Jesus is the name of the man manifest. And actually it was Isu Emmanuel.
2,000 years ago, is he the savior of this world?
He is a Christ energy. So yes, it will be through the Christ energy that you will grow into your higher state of godness.
Okay.
I don't know how else to put it. It is not a man that did it. It is...